James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, yes. Hello, everybody. How are you today? Welcome to the Guy James Show. I'm Guy James. I'm doggone glad to be with you this afternoon here in the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Ah, yes. We hope to have a good show for you today. A little later on coming up, we're going to have Brad Friedman from Bradblog.com. We're going to talk about a little black box voting situation that we've got all over the country right now. Very important time coming up with this midterm election. We're also going to be joined by Clint Curtis, candidate for Congress here in Florida, and also a whistleblower of the black box voting issue, who's a very interesting man. And by golly, believe it or not, he's just about pulled even with Tom Feeney, that bastard Tom Feeney here in South Florida. Southeast Florida, actually, and might have a good chance of beating him, especially if you guys all send him a few extra bucks so he can run a few more ads. But it's pulling in. It's pulling close. And so we'll have both of them with us a little later on. I think at the bottom of this hour, we're going to have Brad on. And then Clint's going to join us, I think, at about 4:05. That's the way we have it planned anyway. Everybody all tip-top shape and all caught up on the news and everything today? Are you? You know, my listeners, you guys, you must read papers, you must watch the cable news, you must do it all, because my listeners are so well informed, unbelievably well informed. You know, it's fascinating. When I talk to other people about issues that we discuss here on this program, the ignorance that there is out in the general public, and it bothers me a little bit. It really does bother me that so many people just don't give a damn. Oh, well, all politics is corrupt anyway. Well, my vote doesn't make any difference. You know, I would think of all places in this country, Floridians would say, yeah, my vote makes a difference. All I got to do is think back to the Al Gore thing. You know, I've often said if our program would have been on in 2000, we could have swayed the hearts and minds of, what was it, 358 people or however many it was. We might have been able to win that election. Maybe it's inevitable that we could not have, because the Supreme Court was going to decide one way or another, and Catherine Harris, maybe they had it rigged so bad that nothing could have been done. But anyway, I like to think that. And that's why I think it's important to have true liberal voices on the internet and on terrestrial radio and on TV. And we don't have very much of that. And so I do hope you'll support all of your liberal broadcasters and even the ones that call themselves progressive. I'm the stubborn one. I'm a liberal. By God, I was born a liberal. I've stayed a liberal. You know that old saying, who was it? Winston Churchill, that said, if you're young and you're not a liberal, you have no heart. And if you're older and are not a conservative, you have no brain. To hell with that. The older I get, the more liberal I get. So either Winston was dead wrong or I am. And, You know, I didn't know Winston. I know myself. I think I'm right, and he was dead wrong. In fact, I see no reason why the older you get, the more liberal you shouldn't get. Do you understand why you shouldn't? The more you understand the ills of society, the societal problems there are in this country, don't you think you should become more liberal over the years? The better understanding that you have, the more informed, the more the wiser you get, the more you understand the problems of the people and the problems of the world, I would think you'd get a little more liberal. That seems to be a natural progression to me. Anyway, I know somebody who doesn't think that way, and it's that rotten bastard Rush Limbaugh. And I know you're probably all sick of hearing about him the past few days. Has he stepped in it or what? I have to tell you, and I just want to give you a quick story. I have a friend that, where did I put a note down here. I put his exact quote. I have a friend whose wife has Parkinson's disease. Okay? And about 5 years now. And she has displays tendencies just exactly like Michael J. Fox and you saw in the commercial. Most people afflicted with that do. And it's a tough thing to have. It's a dreaded thing to have. There's little question about that. Anyway, I called this fellow, and I won't embarrass him by saying his name. I think he's even listening today. But he's been a Republican all of his life. He voted for George Bush twice. He wavered considerably when George Bush went against the stem cell research recently. And who wouldn't if you had Parkinson's disease? And a gentle soul indeed, if there ever was one. I've never heard him say a cross word about anybody. And I called him today and said, I want to ask you a question. I want to know if you still listen to Rush Limbaugh. He said, not anymore. And I said, why? He said, you know why. I said, no, tell me. And I wrote back down what I think was his exact quote. He said, obviously, Rush Limbaugh knows nothing about Parkinson's disease. Rush Limbaugh is a slimy, cowardly drug addict. Sends his maid out to buy drugs for him. That no good son of a bitch. I mean, I hope he rots in hell. This is one of the most gentle people I have ever known, a hardcore Republican his entire life, talking about the recent events with Rush Limbaugh. And who could blame him? Who could blame him? Mr. Limbaugh is the poster boy for the Republican Party. All that's right and good, the values and all that stuff that they preach. All that. And yes, I did say Bush opposes stem cell research, embryonic stem cell research. And he's at it again. Limbaugh's at it again. Going off and spouting his mouth, shooting his mouth off again about it today. Apparently, Mr. Limbaugh is a bit misinformed. If he would review some of the reporting on this matter and do a quick bit of research for a change, he'd realize that the medication for Parkinson's often causes the tremors and the uncontrolled movements shown by Michael J. Fox in that ad. And if gone untreated, the Parkinson's disease causes rigidity all throughout the body as the disease affects the central nervous system. And medication for Parkinson's is meant to stimulate the nervous system. If Limbaugh would just do a little research on this, however many times this results in numerous uncontrolled movements, and I've seen it, you've seen it, the treatment extends the life of the people with Parkinson's, but it's really difficult, tough on the patient. To say that Fox was, quote, off his medication is just plain inaccurate. And as far as the faking goes that Limbaugh alleges, I'm unsure what this accusation could be based on. And Mr. Limbaugh lost some of what's left of his credibility by making such accusations with the misinformed off-his-medication claims. Perhaps Rush should have more maybe a more thorough understanding of his facts before shooting off his mouth. Rush has no real basis for what he's claiming. If he wants to make a credible statement about someone's medical condition, perhaps he should stop shopping doctors for pills and maybe become one. Because he tried to talk like one this week. Rush Limbaugh is and always was typical of the Republican attitude. Snobby, know-it-all, hypocritical, biased beyond belief, narrow-minded, won't accept any criticism, especially on policies that affect everyone else. Not afraid to tell the big lie over and over and over again. Not afraid to make others afraid. Certainly not adverse to using the lowest possible tactics to win election and maintain their so-called power. But thank you, Rush, for adding more fuel to the fire started by the Bush and Company in Iraq, and Foley's recent revelation, and Jack Abramoff, and all his Republican puppets, and all the other abuses of power that we've endured since the year 2000. Russ is yet another fine example of Republican values. Oh, yes, their values. How they rag on celebrities. Republicans can elect a celebrity. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Or have one as a spokesperson for maybe like the NRA and Mr. Charlton Heston. But they want to get all up and on arms over one who speaks their minds that doesn't agree with them. The irony of this really humors me. And just in case any of you might be confused, you ditto heads, Rush did not apologize. He said, and I quote, "So I will bigly, hugely admit that I was wrong, and I will apologize to Michael J. Fox if I am wrong in characterizing his behavior on this commercial as an act." Then, of course, Limbaugh turned around and started attacking him again. What a son of a bitch this guy is. I would love to meet him in person. I would love to meet him in person. And by the way, as you might expect, I called him again today and invited him on the show. That's never going to happen, but they get tired of me calling and asking. But I love the fact that these neocons are running so many of these lying negative ads against their opponents because it shows their desperation and the disgusting mindset of the neocon party in general, and the fact that they absolutely refuse to pull them, in my opinion, is extremely telling. So keep up the good work, neocons. You're defeating yourselves. You all do realize that Michael J. Fox stopped working because he couldn't control his jerky actions almost a decade ago, except the occasional acting gig. Very occasional. Did you think he would get better? No, he's getting worse. It's inevitable. And Rush Limbaugh is an idiot, and if you take anything he says seriously, you are worse. He acts all angry and righteous to fool the morons who feed into that, and then when he's called on a specific point about not being accurate, he says, well, he's not a reporter, he's an entertainer. Yet fools around the country get their political insights from a man who has never held accountable for any false information that he sends out. And he makes them every day, and he never corrects them. The intellectual midgets that listen to him think it's great to be called a ditto head, which was a term he originally used to make fun of the people who actually believed what he said because he'd go out and repeat anything he said, whether it was right or wrong, because they worship at the altar of idiocy that he created. Don't you think when he's smoking those big fat cigars on his fat ass that he doesn't get a big chuckle out of people calling in his show and calling themselves ditto heads? What a cult he has created. Let's face the facts here. If Limbaugh came on tomorrow and said eating cow pies was good for you, there'd be an immediate shortage of them because they'd all be scarfing them down for dinner tomorrow night. And that's a fact. Limbaugh really should have taken a few minutes to research Parkinson. Probably he could have found some other non-famous people with the disease to see if their shaking is staged as well. And I have news. It is not. Unfortunately, very unfortunately, our society seems to not listen too well unless someone famous is talking, and that is unfortunate. And if Michael J. Fox, who's been cursed with a serious disease, can use his fame to educate people about it and about possible cures for it, then I think he should. That's right and proper. And if that's what it takes to make us listen and understand, so be it. I was listening to some of Limbaugh's bloviations today, and I sat down thinking every time I think of why I'm a Democrat, I listen to Rush Limbaugh for 5 minutes, and thank God I'm not a Republican. Because if he's an example of what it is to be one, I don't want any part of it, and neither should any thinking human being. And frankly, I came up with an idea today for all of those who are against stem cell research because they don't want their tax money spent on it, and I mean stem cell or embryonic, either one. And for all of those that don't want any part of it for some sort of twisted right-wing fundy morality reasons, let's have all of them sign a pledge. Every one of them that says they're against it, let's have them all sign a pledge that says from now on, no member of their families will ever be eligible for any medicine or medical cures developed from stem cell research, embryonic, or regular stem cell research. How about doing that? And then let's see how it goes. They'd be the first ones begging for the medicine, right? What do you think about Limbaugh? What else could he do? What else could he say to his sorry listeners? Admit he was wrong? Admitted he's a horse's ass in this situation? Have his pitiful gang of ditto heads have their compassionate conservative faith in him shaken? No. He has to continue on and feed his listeners more of this propaganda, more of his sick, twisted, drug-induced ideas that are so far off base from what a normal human being would think. He's their master. They depend on him to reinforce the mean, nasty, idiotic neocon agenda they love so much. And I was thinking, after I heard all this thing, and after I've seen some polls that I'll talk to you about in a moment, wouldn't it be wonderful karma? Wouldn't it just be the best karma? That the man mostly responsible for the Republicans having control right now, one Rush Limbaugh, because of his Nazi-like propaganda, wouldn't it be great karma that the man who put them in power becomes the guy who's responsible for taking them out of power? I'm sure this has crossed his drug-addled mind, and I hope and pray he gets much of the blame if we end up throwing these neocon bastards out of the political door. The nerve of him saying he did it for the Democrats. He did it for people who need stem cell research. Don't forget, Mr. Limbaugh, he also did it for a Republican a couple of years ago. I came upon an article by, in my opinion, the very wonderful Molly Ivins. I love Molly. I'm a country boy. Naturally, I would like the way she writes. And I'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. But Molly writes in her latest article, it's a race to the bottom for misinformation and cruelty, not to mention plain old dreadful manners. It is so hard to beat Rush Limbaugh, we can only measure the great blowhard against himself. She goes on to say, even by Limbaugh standards, his recent attack on Michael J. Fox, the actor, is several levels lower than tacky. He's exaggerating the effects of the disease, Limbaugh told his listeners. He's moving all around and shaking, and it's purely an act. The reaction from Parkinson's expert was swift and angry. It's a shameless statement, said John Rogers of Parkinson's Action Network. It's insulting, it's appalling, and sad at best. And Molly goes on to say, so then Limbaugh, a big-hearted guy, says while still on the air, the same broadcast. Now, people are telling me they've seen Michael J. Fox in interviews, and he does appear in the same way in the interviews as he does in this commercial. All right, then I stand corrected. So I will bigly, hugely admit that I was wrong and apologize to Michael Fox if I'm wrong in characterizing his behavior on the commercial as an act. Exploiting his disease by pushing for a cure. Gee, I never thought of that. Do you think the late Christopher Reeve was faking it? Is Nancy Reagan exploiting her late husband? And if that isn't disgusting enough, let's take a look at the new ad running against Harold Ford Jr. of Tennessee in the U.S. Senate race. And Molly goes on and says, I realize it's difficult to keep up with the degree of Republican sleaze around these days, but I did like President Bush's celebration of National Character Counts Week. He went to Pennsylvania to support Reverend Don Sherwood, who's being sued for repeatedly beating his mistress. Lies, propaganda, misinformation. That's what they're all about. And thank you, Rush. Thank you for throwing it out in the open once again. I do appreciate it so very much. I'll get back to a couple of things about this Rush Limbaugh deal in just a minute. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, make it did us, Guy.
Yeah.
This is Billy Shears. How you doing?
Hi, Billy.
Hey, listen, I have a great barometer for the Democrats taking over, next week. And that is, Jerry Springer and Tucker Carlson were on Dancing with the Stars. And, Tucker Carlson, neither one of them can dance at all. But Tucker was thrown out the very first week. Jerry Springer made it almost to the end. So, there you go. Everybody's voting for Democrats.
Yeah, I wasn't aware. I heard that Carlson got knocked off right away. I never did hear how Springer did. You say he made it almost to the end.
He almost hump away, really did.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised his ticker took it that long. I saw him on an interview someplace, said he thought he was going to die first.
I know. No, he's terrible. But at any rate, hey, listen, Guy, listen, you are great. I love your show. I love Bob's show. And, hey, listen, I'm not very religious, but the Second Coming is Monday. Mike Malloy's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're glad to have Mike back, welcoming back to the fraternity.
He's a
great guy and an even better broadcaster.
Absolutely. Okay, Guy, I just want to let you know that I love your show. And
thank you, Billy. Good to hear from you.
Keep listening, and I'll see you later.
Keep that guitar stringed up tight.
You got it.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, Billy Shears. He's a musician. I got an email back from him, and we were talking about singing back and forth. I kind of do that a little bit myself. And so we have something in common anyway. I found this wonderful poll that was out today, and its key findings are that the Republicans who indicated that they were voting for the Republican candidate decreased by 10% after viewing the Limbaugh video. 10%. And independents planning on voting for Democrats increased by 10% from 39 to 49%. That's good news. Thank you, Rush. Thank you. Just keep it up. That's all I ask. Keep it up. As they say, when you're digging a guy's digging a hole, your enemy's digging a hole, hand him a better shovel or however that goes. If he's drowning, throw him a rock. And Rush is drowning. And I am so pleased. I am not, don't get me wrong here. I am not pleased that he said what he said. I think it's vile and demeaning from one end to the other. And I think he's scum for saying what he did. I don't know if he did it for ratings. I have an idea that he really means it. Either way, he's scum. And he knows he's scum, but he's got enough money he doesn't have to worry about it. And I suspect that everybody that personally knows him, and I do know one person that knew him fairly well about 10 years ago, that the guy is scum. He's the lowest form. Absolutely the lowest form. The bottom feeder. So I was not happy that he said what he said. But what I'm happy about is maybe, just maybe, a decent percentage of the people, a decent percentage of the people that listen to him regularly will finally understand what a lowlife he really is and will finally understand what it is he's pitching. we used a pitchfork on it for it on, down on the farm, and it wasn't hay. So I hope that he's exposed himself. Well, not in that way. You know what I mean. My goodness, I'm just getting a visit in the studio here. They came in from the outer office. Kukla the Wonder Dog and Sophie the pup, the two little Yorkies, brought them in with me today to the studio, and they were playing in the outer office. It's so cute. They both get along so well. One of them's, 9 months old, and the other one's 10 weeks old, and they just have the greatest friendship struck up, and they love to fight. And so if you hear them bark here in a minute, this is probably the only radio show in America where you can hear the dogs barking in the background, from the host anyway. I've certainly called on people before on the phone, and they've had dogs barking in the background, but now they're going to lay down and take it easy over here. I have a little bed for them over here in the studio. I know. It's ridiculous. Well, we're 26 minutes after the hour. We're going to have Brad Friedman on coming up in just a few minutes ago. So, everybody, please get all your questions ready for Brad Friedman. And a little later on, Clint Curtis. We're going to talk about black box voting issues around the country and other voting issues that we need to be concerned about. We've been telling you about that for a couple of days. So, I hope you have an interest in it, and I hope you'll participate in the conversation. I got a... not one, but several emails from people asking me if I was going to talk about all this information that seems to be flying around, mostly on the internet, about the 4th U.S. Navy 4th Strike Group joining three other armadas off of the coast of Iran, and that we're supposedly getting ready for a war against Iran. I called a Navy contact that I have today at the Pentagon. I got his name from somebody that knows us both and trust him very much. And I will say that although he's not an admiral, he has a very nice position at the Pentagon. And I called him and asked him about this. He's a lifelong Democrat. And he tells me that, just so you'll know, and this is coming pretty much from the horse's mouth, he tells me that much of the ship deployment being talked about now, concerning being headed for a supposed war in Iran, is simply not true. And I don't think he's got any reason to lie to me about it or mislead me about it. He says it's simply not true. We had an off-the-record conversation and promised I wouldn't give his name. And he says he knows of the situation that people are talking about and said it is not true, that people have taken a little bit of information, a little bit of here and a little bit there, and added it all together and come up with this, that we've got this huge armada headed for and stationed off the coast of Iran, and that it's simply not so. So there's my report on that. Take it for what it's worth. I don't know. 96 killed this month in Iraq. 96. How long has it been since mission accomplished? I think that makes about, 2,700 now since mission was accomplished? 96. Every day, 3 or 4 or 5. How many this month? This is the 26th day of the month, so we've averaged almost 4 a day, over 3.5. And the nation better be talking about this. The nation better stay right on this, in my humble opinion, and use it as a big issue in this upcoming election. And one thing before I go to a break, Karl Rove was asked on NPR, asking about polls. He said, I'm looking at the same polls. No, Rove says, no, you're not looking at the same polls. He says, no, you're not looking at the same polls I'm looking at, he said to a reporter. Rove said that he was reviewing 68 polls a week, and unlike the generic polls that everybody, you know, quotes on the news and all that, he says his polls add up to a Republican Senate and Republican House victory. And he sounds real sure of it. Why does he sound so sure of it when everybody else differs with him on that? That's what I'd like to know. What does Karl Rove know that we don't know? And is it something absolutely nefarious, which I suspect that it is? Well, we're going to head off to a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Peter said to Paul, you know all those words we wrote are just the rules of the game, and the rules are the first to go. But now talking to God is Laurel begging Hardy for a gun. I got a girl in the war, man, I wonder what it is we've done. Said to Petey, you gotta rock yourself a little hard. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and your feet are on fire. I got a girl in the war, Paul, the only thing I know to do. Turn up the music and pray that she makes it through. Cause the keys to the kingdom got locked inside the kingdom. And the angels fly around in there, but we can't see them. And I got a girl in the war, Paul, I know that they can hear me yell. If they can't find a way to help her, they can go to hell. If they can't find a way to help her, they can go to hell. You gotta rock yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon, your feet are on fire. But I got a girl in the war, Paul, her eyes are like champagne. They sparkle bubble over in the morning, all you got is rain. Sparkle bubble over, and in the morning all you got is rain. Sparkle bubble over, and in the morning all you got is rain. Hey.
do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes in the federal and state government?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereignty. It's, you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
What are you, on dope?
We think so, too. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Hey, everybody. We're back with the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us here this afternoon. And as promised, we promised you that we'd have Brad Friedman on with us this afternoon, and we do. Brad's on the line with us. Brad, are you with us?
I am here indeed. How are you, Guy?
Hey, welcome back. Glad to have you along with us today.
Always good to be here.
Well, let's get right to it. You know, we're getting close. We're down to the, 12 days, is it now?
Something like that, yeah. I don't even wish to look to find out, but
well,
yeah.
Well, I know you don't wish to look, and frankly, I think I'll be glad when it's over with, but the way
when
I...
do you think that'll be, Guy?
that's a pretty big question. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. I'm thinking that as the time gets closer and things become more frantic and frenetic, I see your desk is probably getting piled higher with reports of problems here, there, and everywhere. Am I right?
You are very right. Yeah, it's coming in now fast and furious, and the problems already beginning to melt down now around the country are really, really scary. And given what is at stake here, given how many of these seats right now that I believe are in play across the country in every single state, the electoral integrity issues here are, frankly, more important than ever. And, you know, as we're finding now, report after report of problems in state after state, we got a hell of a mess already on our hands. I've been sort of predicting this now for many, many months. What do you know? It seems to be coming true here.
Well, you know, a lot of people like to say, well, everybody's wearing their tinfoil hats when they talk about this problem of black box voting and, yeah, and irregularities and all this. But, you know, it shows up in the Washington Post. It shows up in the New York Times. It shows up in Lou Dobbs. You were on Lou Dobbs a while back, weren't you?
I was indeed. Yeah,
that's where I saw you. Yeah, I remember that. About a month ago, maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they've been picking up a lot of my reports ever since. And, you know, interestingly enough, we don't hear a lot of this tinfoil hat conspiracy theory stuff anymore the way we used to. And I suspect that is because there's just such a damning amount of evidence out there. There are so many failures now going on across the country. It is, as you say, being picked up finally by Washington Post, New York Times, and so forth. And, yeah, you got Lou Dobbs, who's been reporting on it pretty much every damn day for the past 4 months. And, you know, he is no moonbat lefty conspiracy theorist. You
he does not have a credibility problem that I'm aware
of. He's a hard right Republican. And as we know in the media, if you're a Republican, you don't have credibility problems. It's
well,
only Democrats.
Except maybe if your name's Limbaugh nowadays.
Oh, no, not even him.
Hey, yeah.
This guy has, you know, what he says as news, and I mean, I know he's gotten himself into a whole bunch of hot water, but with this whole Michael J. Fox business. But you know, there's such a difference if you're a right winger versus not a right winger, as far as the type of coverage that you get for what you do, for what you say, for what your analysis is. You know, I mean, it's really shameful, but. Yeah, this problem now, you know, it's hard to say it's a conspiracy theory when you've got a report in today's Washington Post showing that 4,100 Diebold touchscreen motherboards in Maryland were replaced in secret in 2005. And when I say in secret, the Board of Elections, Director of the Board of Elections out there, Linda Lamone, who is a Democrat, by the way, that, you know, she basically concealed what was going on. She concealed all of the massive problems in 2004 and, you know, the fact that they had to completely replace all of these motherboards. Now, she's out there saying today that, oh, well, we, you know, it wasn't a secret. We would have told anybody if they asked. Well, A, she should have told everybody what was going on anyway, and B, you can't replace 4,100 motherboards on 4,100 voting machines without anybody noticing unless you are taking measures to do so in secret. And that's what happened out there in Maryland, and that's just one of the places where...
And these motherboards, it's all proprietary, right? The local election board's got it, not a say in it whatsoever.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Nobody ever gets to look at these things. And, in fact, they went ahead knowing they had problems in 2004 and went ahead and used uncertified motherboard, uncertified software. That's what Diebold does. They're a menace to society. But, frankly, Diebold has gotten all the bad press, but it is all of these companies. We're seeing, for example, you may have seen reports of this down in Virginia, the important... race between George Allen and Jim Webb down there, where Jim Webb's last name is being cut off on the screens of Hart Inner Civic machines. Now, of course, it's also affecting George Allen by cutting off the R for Republican after his name. That's going on in Virginia, but guess what? We're finding the same things happening down in Texas with Hart Inner Civic machines, out in California with Hart Inner Civic machines, they've known about these for years. They haven't done anything about it, and now all of these chickens are coming home to roost, I'm afraid, and guys like you and me are going to be stuck covering the mess, I believe.
Oh, I hope we're not talking about this for weeks after the election. I really hope we're not. I suspect we will be. Let me ask you a question.
I hope you've got plenty of takeout delivery menu.
Oh, man, I got the Chinaman's sitting right here. One of our listeners, Dave, wants to know, let's just be real elementary here for a minute, and this
sure.
is a question everybody should know. I know you've been to Washington. I've been to Washington. I've discussed this issue with our politicians, and you have as well. Why the silence from them, mostly silence from them?
Well, we know why the Republicans are mostly silent. They simply do not want paper ballots. That makes their life a hell of a lot easier if they want to game the system. As far as the Democrats, that answer is a little bit more complicated. Of course, the more nefarious answer would be the Democrats also want to game the system. That is not my sense at all. My sense is that they're sort of somewhat terrified, timid, inept when it comes to being able to stand up for electoral integrity and other issues, as you may have noticed. I spoke to the DNC National Convention in Chicago over the summer, their gathering of state party chairs and attorneys and everything else. And in talking to folks, one of the things that I got back from them was this bizarre, twisted, and tortured notion that talking about these issues somehow suppresses the vote. To me, this is a bizarre theory that has actually no basis in evidence. The evidence actually shows quite the opposite. But if you stop to think about it, what they're suggesting is, don't tell people that their votes may not count or may not be counted accurate because they won't show up at all. Rather, have them show up, but then not have their votes counted at all. I mean, it's so twisted and tortured, it makes no sense. And those candidates who have come out and spoken clearly and strongly about electoral integrity and said, this is what we need to do, these are the issues we need to talk about, we need full transparency, we need to know how our votes are being counted. Those folks, whether it's Deborah Bowen running for Secretary of State out in California, Clint Curtis, running for Congress down there in Florida, they have won huge in their primary elections. Bigger than anybody would have even imagined. And so, it suggests to me that talking about the issues of electoral integrity is the crossover issue of all crossover issues. And you've got Republicans, Democrats, Greens, Libertarians, Independents alike who say, look, if our vote doesn't count, we don't have anything, and I am going to stand up and toss in my support for those people who are going to fight for every vote in our democracy.
Well, as well we should. You're right. That's where it begins. That's the foundation. Without it, the whole thing's going to crumble. And if we can't trust our voting system, we're screwed big time.
Well, that's right. You don't have anything. If you can't throw the bums out, you know, what does all the talk in the world, what good does it do you to talk about, you know, what's going on in Iraq and what we need to do here and what we need to do there if the will of the people cannot be exercised on election day? And that's, you know, I believe that's what we saw in 2004. And, you know, you can talk about Iraq, the problems there, but if you can't throw the guy out who instituted this failed policy in the first place, why bother debating the issues? That's why I've been covering, you know, election integrity issues the way that I have been covering them. You know, bradblog.com was not set up as an election reform blog. But in many ways, it has become that.
Because, well, yeah, like it or not, you've...
yeah. But like it or not, indeed. And I don't like it, but I feel like, you know, we have no choice, and why waste time debating these other issues?
Well, it seems to me you're spending more time on this than anybody that I know of.
Yeah, and like I say, I'm not all that happy about it, but so be it. It's got to be done.
Hey, let me see here if we can get a question in from one of our callers.
Sure.
Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. You have a question for Brad?
Yes, Guy. This is James Morgan.
Yes.
I was wanting to know if Brad knew of any kind of organized way of punishing Diebold for, you know, like having a group of people that didn't use ATMs or anything like that to kind of punish them on their bottom line.
Good question. You know, feel free to call your bank and say, hey, you guys use Diebold ATMs. You guys are, you know, Diebold hates America and hates democracy. And frankly, they do. They're undermining everything this country stands for. And tell them, guess what? I'm pulling my money out and I'm going elsewhere. And, you know, they may get the message that way if enough folks do it.
Because I'm, and we've concentrated a lot on the politicians, and that's great. But Diebold, I mean, I've tried to do the cashless thing or talked about it with myself and among other people, but it's like it's not quite so easy. So I just was wondering if you know of anything that was like a group of people that would make it easier. Maybe I should start something.
Anyway. Well, please do. I mean, don't wait for someone else to do this. You know, because as we've seen, that neither the politicians or the media is going to take the lead here. This has always been up to the people, and frankly, rightly so. You know, this is our democracy. We are the citizens. It does, you know, demand eternal vigilance to maintain our liberty, our freedoms, and ultimately our democracy. And I think a lot of folks are sitting around waiting for someone else to do it, waiting for someone like me, perhaps. Well, you know, I'll remind the caller and others listening, you know, I'm not a journalist. I'm not a media guy. I think I've become all of those things. But essentially, I was just a guy, a citizen, a blogger, who started seeing what the hell was going on and thought somebody needed to make some noise about it. And so I was doing that. I would encourage you all to do that as well, because, frankly, I'm exhausted and could use a little help.
Hey, thanks for your call. Well, now, come on, about the exhausted. You had a little hiatus a while back.
When?
Well, I don't know, a couple of months ago. When did you take off?
I was on the road a couple of months back. Had no hiatus, unfortunately.
Your help made it. Your helpers made it sound like you were on the coast of Mexico somewhere, relaxing with a mint julep or whatever.
Boy, I wish I was. I tried to, actually, but during that whole period, that's when all the Busby Bilberry Diebold sleepover stuff happened down in San Diego. That's when Bobby Kennedy's latest Rolling Stone article was coming out that I was helping him with. That's when the Princeton report, which I believe you and I have talked about, that shows that a Diebold voting machine can be hacked in 60 seconds time with a vote-flipping virus that can spread itself from machine to machine and delete itself at the end of the election so you'd never notice. That was a source of mine who had brought me this Diebold touchscreen machine. And so my group, VelvetRevolution.us, gave that to Princeton about 9 months ago. And I had been working with the professors over there getting the details on that as they were moving forward. So no, I'm sorry to say, I'm really sorry to say, I didn't get much of a break while I was on the road.
I was having fun with you. Hey, the Princeton thing, I'm trying to think, what program was I watching recently on TV where they just totally poo-pooed that? Was it the CNN? I can't remember. So, oh, no, there's no credibility there to that Princeton study. Just,
is that right?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'd love to know who that was.
Yeah, it was on CNN, I think. Said, oh, there's nothing to it. You know, somebody, tell us a little bit about the Princeton study. What exactly did they come up with?
Well, they were able to figure out how in about 10 seconds' time you could break the security on a Diebold machine. Either
10 seconds?
10 seconds, either by picking the lock, or you could go to Staples and buy a key that is used, you know, to open an office drawer, or you can take one home from a hotel minibar, because guess what? Every Diebold machine uses the same damn key that you can buy for $2 at the hardware.
No.
Yep.
Oh.
So you can get into that machine, you can get into the memory card, and in another 60 seconds, you can implant a virus that will flip the vote, and it will never be seen. And in fact, the professor there who did this study out of Princeton, you know, he's been he's since testified in Congress, and he's been on Fox News, believe it or not, CNN, everywhere else, and showing how folks can come on up, vote in this mock election for George Washington. Everyone can vote for George Washington for president, and they print out the results, and what do you know? Benedict Arnold is the winner. This can be done without anybody ever knowing it, and you would never know it. It may have been done in the past. The security on these systems is so lax, and the Diebold folks have been lying about that time after time after time for years now, that frankly, those guys should be in jail. I mean, every one of them is a criminal enterprise that they have covered up from top to bottom. And it's absolutely a scandal that that criminal charges have yet to be brought against these guys for the lying and scheming that they have done, which has resulted in the undermining of our democracy.
Well, they promised Bush a victory the last time around. It worked. Are there problems with the other machines as well, the other companies?
Oh yeah, huge. And as I mentioned, that one issue with the Hart InterCivic machines. Now cutting off candidates' names in a number of states.
Well, is there one worse than another? Is Diebold the worst? Or they?
Diebold, you know, has gotten the lion's share of the attention because of, as you mentioned, their CEO having, you know, promised to deliver the electoral votes to George Bush in Ohio. Diebold is an Ohio-based company, actually, Ohio and Texas.
Yeah, Cincinnati, I think he's in. Well, what percentage of the voting machines in the country would be Diebold?
Good question. I think that Diebold is up at around 40% or so now. Well over 80% are one of these companies, electronic voting machines. ES&S is actually the largest voting machine company. Diebold is a larger company, but their election business is a small fraction of their company. ES&S actually has more machines out there than anyone else, and it has in fact been their failures, state after state throughout the primary season, that have been the most legion and the most severe. I mean, they're just utterly failing, you know, week after week throughout the primaries. And remember, that was when you had, two and three states having elections at a time. Fast forward now to November 7th, when they're going to be running an election in all 50 states. 435 House members, 33 Senate members, 20-something, you know, governors, innumerable local races, all on the same day. I'm telling you, these guys, whether it's ES&S, Diebold, Hart InterCivic, or Sequoia, they are simply not prepared to handle the technical problems that are going to happen on Election Day and are already beginning prior to Election Day.
Well, now, Brad, how are we, I guess the better question is, how are you or any other organization around the country, how are we going to keep track of all that on November the 7th? You got a real system set up?
Well, it's going to be very hard to keep track because there is so much going on. However, we are setting up something at velvetrevolution.us, which is an organization I co-founded for election integrity. We will be announcing our election protection strike force effort and web page very shortly. So the folks at VR are going to be on it there. We're working with a bunch of other organizations like videothevote.org, Poll Workers for Democracy, electionintegrity.org, on and on. It's going to be a mess. I'll tell you that now. It is not going to be easy to keep up with what's going on. You know, we don't have the $3 billion that the voting machine companies like Diebold do to, you know, hire a press firm, a PR firm, to go out there and lie about stuff. So we actually have to tell the truth, and we have to do it with almost next to nothing as far as the resources go. I would encourage folks to stop by velvetrevolution.us and support our effort there. It's you know, it's funded by folks like you, the citizen, the ragtag citizen patriots out there who understand the need for electoral integrity and who are going to jump in and, frankly, put their money where their mouth is, because VR is going to be, you know, watching the polls on Election Day, certainly working with Video the Vote. We're going to be pursuing legal suits all around the country. We already are, as we've done down in the San Diego Busby Bilbray sleepover issue. We're going to be running our own exit polls, actually. So there's a lot out there. We've had to raise a lot of money. We're spending it all as quickly as we're bringing it in on all of these efforts, whether it's polling or legal efforts or anything else. So, you know, we do a lot with very little, and we're going to do the best that we can, given, frankly, what I fear is to come.
Well, I'll ask you a very elementary question. I'm going to be a poll worker, a watcher.
Good.
An observer, but I won't be able to see anything that goes on with these machines, because I wouldn't know it if I saw it. Now, would I?
Well, that's one of the problems, is that, you know, if these systems are gamed, you really won't see it. You could have a million folks there on Election Day, and you would never know it. But you will likely see problems, and I would encourage you and anybody who goes to vote, bring a video camera, bring a still camera, bring a, you know, your cell phone camera. So this time, when folks are using these touchscreen machines and they try to vote for one candidate, it flips to another, you know, get it on video so that we can put it up online. And, you know, you need to know this beforehand, not after, as happened in 2004. That happened all over the country. And yet people, you know, didn't get the shots of it. And so this allowed the bad guys to say, oh, they're just crazy conspiracy theorists making this stuff up. Get it on tape. Get it on video, post it on YouTube, you know, participate in being the media. But you will see, as a poll worker, and I don't know what type of machines they use where you are. Do you know what type?
Now they're the touchscreen, but I don't know what brand they are.
Oh, lovely. Well,
yeah.
You'll see printers jamming. You'll see if they even have paper on.
No papers.
Paperless touchscreen down there?
Yeah, no paper.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
you'll see the screens jamming. You'll see people who are showing up to vote who should be registered, who voted in that same location for the last 20 years, who all of a sudden are not.
That happened to me 2 years ago.
Did it?
In the general. Yes. Oh, I mean in the presidential election. Yes,
well,
sir.
Why didn't you tell anybody you were?
I raised holy hell, and I had to go back twice that day, and finally got it straightened out. They told me the election supervisor was off work that day. Hey, we're going to have to pause for the news right now. You're going to stick around with us, aren't you?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You listen to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. We're going to stop for news right now, coming up very shortly. So don't go away. We're going to be back, and when we come back, we're going to have Brad back with us, and we're also going to have Clint Curtis along with us as well.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. military death toll continues to rise in Iraq, where another four Marines and one sailor have been killed in the Anbar province, bringing to at least 96 the number of U.S. service members killed in Iraq this month. U.S. forces are questioning three Iraqis in connection with the disappearance on Monday of an American soldier of Iraqi descent who it's believed was kidnapped while visiting relatives in Baghdad. He is still missing. An unusual protest against the war in Iraq, this one coming from several hundred active duty service members who are speaking out, saying they're fed up with the war and are urging Congress to bring the troops home. Although it's rare, active duty troops are allowed under Defense Department rules to express their opinions without fear of retaliation. In Afghanistan, at least 60 civilians, many of them women and children, have reportedly been killed during NATO bombing raids in Kandahar province. If verified, that would represent the highest number of civilian casualties since the U.S. invasion began in 2001. With less than 2 weeks before midterm elections, a new Reuters Zogby poll shows that Democrats hold an 11% lead over Republicans, and of those who define themselves as conservative, only 56% say they intend to vote Republican. The UN General Assembly tries again today to elect a Latin American country to fill the vacant seat on the Security Council. So far, there have been 41 ballots, making this the third longest vote in UN history, but neither Guatemala nor Venezuela has been able to get the two-thirds majority needed. Israel is denying a German newspaper report that two Israeli F-16 fighter jets buzzed a German ship patrolling the Lebanese coast as part of the UN peacekeeping force and fired twice as they flew low over the ship. South Korea has taken its first step in imposing sanctions against Pyongyang, announcing that it will ban the entry of North Korean officials who are part of their country's nuclear weapons program. It will also limit inter-Korean trade and investments. The U.S. and Russia are close to an agreement which would allow Moscow to join the World Trade Organization, something Russia has wanted to do for 13 years. Negotiators now say they hope to have a deal in place by no later than November 7th. Mandatory evacuations are underway near Palm Springs, California, where a brush fire is burning out of control. A snow blizzard advisory is in effect from Colorado Springs to the New Mexico border. And folks living or vacationing near Cabo San Lucas are breathing a sigh of relief, escaping a serious damage from Tropical Storm Paul, which skirted Baja yesterday as it headed for the mainland. And the first female president of the NAACP, Anolia McMillan, has died in Maryland at the age of 102. This is the Quality News Network, Science and Business, coming up next.
Tune in to the Quality News Network on election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scorecard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 250 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at qualitynewsnetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
A controversial new study finds that CAT scans can sometimes find tumors in the lungs of smokers that might otherwise go undetected. The Mayo Clinic has released a study showing that a popular anti-aging supplement known as DHEA actually has no clear anti-aging benefits. The CDC is recommending that all susceptible adults over the age of 60 get vaccinated against shingles, a form of chickenpox which can cause lasting nerve damage. The median price of a new home fell last month by 9.6%. That's the largest amount in more than 35 years. The median price is now $217,000. ExxonMobil is reporting third-quarter profits of $10.5 billion, the second-largest quarterly profit ever recorded by a publicly traded company. Exxon also owns the record for the largest quarterly profit ever recorded. In the wake of a worldwide recall of its laptop computer batteries, Sony is reporting a drop of 94% in its quarterly profits. And the annual list of the top-paid U.S. executives is out, topping the list Barry Diller, who once headed Paramount Pictures, then Fox Broadcasting, and now as the CEO of IAC Interactive, which owns the home shopping network, Ticketmaster, and Match.com. His annual salary, nearly $300 million. Light sweet crude oil trading down 40 cents a barrel this hour at $61 even. And on Wall Street, all the markets are higher. Dow Jones Industrials are up 15 points at 12,149. NASDAQ is up 12 at 2369. And S&P 500 up 4 at 1387. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walther. It's now 5.
That's the only thing we have to
not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
All right. Hey, we're back with everybody. Glad to have you along. Did you hear that about that $300 million salary? Who was that guy from Sony? That's not a bad salary. $6 million a week. I could live on that. I'm sure I could. Hey, welcome back to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We had Brad Friedman with us, and right now we're going to also have Clint Curtis with us. Clint, are you with us?
I'm with you, sir.
Welcome to the program. Brad, are you there?
I am here. Let me say hello to the is it too early to call you Congressman Curtis at this point, sir? Might be a little too early. Okay. Well, just a hair. But I'm getting used to it. So good to talk to you, Clint. How are you? I'm good.
Clint, give us you're running against one of the real scoundrels of Congress, in my opinion, and we got a little background noise going here. Anyway, you're running against one of the real, what many of us think is one of the real scoundrels in Congress, Tom Feeney. How's it looking right now? Where are you at in the polls, and what's the outlook?
Well, Zogby just did a poll and called it dead even. Our internal polling actually gives us a couple of points ahead of him, so either way, we're looking pretty good.
Well, Clint, I happen to know that the party and you haven't had exactly a fortune, a treasure chest full of money to work with. How have you done this?
Strictly a grassroots effort. People calling around from all over the country helping us out, and it's working. You don't need millions of dollars. You just need to get to the people.
Well, obviously you've gotten to them, and I'm so pleased the way you're is going for you over there. I really am. If you get to Washington, I think that's going to be a shot in the arm for everybody that doesn't have $1 million to run and has a desire to go help this country in the Congress. It'll be a real shot in the arm. It'll be quite a story, I think, if you make it.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope we can break that millionaire's club hold on the Congress.
Absolutely.
Let me actually jump in, if I could, guys.
Anytime.
Clint had mentioned the Zogby poll showing that he's at a dead heat with Tom Feeney. It should be noted that Feeney has raised more than $1 million, from the top-tier GOP, Tom DeLay, Abramoff Network, as well as the corporate PAC. And over at ClintCurtis.com, everything they got is about $40,000 total, and it's been done by, $5 and $10 donations on the Internet. The fact that he is now in a dead heat, according to Zogby, with Tom Feeney, I think is not only remarkable for him, but is a sign that every seat in this country, from in the reddest of red states, in my opinion, is now up for grabs. If Clint is tied with a sitting incumbent, a powerful GOP leadership guy, Feeney is the deputy whip, I think that speaks for the importance of electoral integrity to get out there and to make sure that all these races are counted accurately, because I think Democrats could win every damn one of them at this point.
Well, it would be a great testament to grassroots if Clint can pull this off. And Clint, you've been out, knocking on doors, going to meetings, going to clubs. What's been your modus operandi here?
That's about it. We're going to all the clubs. We're going to the flea markets. We're doing signs on the corner. We're knocking on doors, just talking to people.
Ah, amazing.
We're not getting the huge press that we expected to get, considering my involvement with Feeney, but it's still getting out there, slow but sure.
That's been a little bit of a mystery to me. It's starting to show up a little bit. There was a small article in our paper the other day about who you are and how you happen to get going in this, and I think most of our listeners know that probably your first bit of notoriety came as being kind of a whistleblower on some of this black box voting shenanigans going on and that Feeney was trying to. What What was the company that Feeney was trying to get this done with?
Well, I worked at Yang Enterprises while he was our head lobbyist, our corporate attorney, and incoming Speaker of the House.
And how did you and Brad happen to ever hook up over this situation, either of you?
I'll let Brad answer.
Oh,
sitting quietly.
That's not
Brad's way to sit quietly.
What's that?
I said, that's not your way to sit quietly, is it?
No, I was going to let you talk. Hey, you're the candidate, brother.
Well, we'll get him in here, but I'd like to know about you guys' association, how you hooked up over this whole...
Well, I'll tell you, originally, a group by the name of Justice for Music had put out a reward after 2004 for insider information. I think it was a $200,000 reward or something, information about election fraud, and Clint had contacted them at the time. I had been reporting on what they were doing and the fact that he had this reward fund out there. Clint contacted them, you know, saying, hey, I don't want any reward, but let me tell you what I know. And he proceeded to tell the story about when he and Feeney worked together at that program firm, and Feeney asked him to create vote rigging software that was, you know, a prototype to split the vote down there in South Florida. At the time, I was getting a lot of tips, and the folks at Justice for Music were passing some of those to me to check out. I got a lot of them. Most of them did not check out. But I looked into what Clint was reporting, and he was willing to, you know, put his name on a sworn affidavit, which led to a sworn videotaped congressional testimony and eventually a polygraph test. And it's history since then. And, of course, you know, now in trying to get that story out, Clint's done, admirably, I think, by stepping forward and saying, you know what? The media ain't going to pay attention to me as a whistleblower. Perhaps they'll pay attention to me as a candidate when I tell this story. And that's what he's done. And, in fact, it has gotten not enough press, but it has gotten a whole hell of a lot more press than it has really since December of 2004 when I first wrote that story. And it was huge and took my blog down at the time. I was getting so much press.
Well, Clint, the next time you turn down a, let me give you my mailing address. So the next time you turn down a $200,000 reward, why, you know, you just give them my address. The software that they wanted you, and I want to get back to your campaign here in just a second, but the software that, that you, were involved with over there that Feeney wanted you to create in order to hack these machines, was there any certain type of machine that they wanted to use with it, or?
He just specified that it would be a touchscreen machine, and he wanted it touchscreen capable is all.
I see.
You know, I built it on a Windows-based system, because that way you already have your mouse coordinates already there, and it's simply a matter of touching the right buttons on the screen in the right order, and you can select whoever you want to win.
We get a note here on the chat room from Johnny O. Says he works at the polls and they vote on the Ivatronic machines made by ES&S. So there's one Brad's probably familiar with. Maybe you are as well.
Those are touchscreen systems that fail like the rest of them.
It's like, are they all? What did we read in the paper the other day about this woman? Where was it? In Maryland or something? Getting some software in the mail or.
Yeah, she got a copy of the super secret, double super secret default source code that's not supposed to be available out there, but default, and it should be, frankly, because I don't know why the hell any of this stuff is proprietary, but they're a security company, and they're supposed to, they claim they've kept this stuff secret, but guess what? It shows up all over the place. All of these companies, however, make flaps, just flaps. And the reason is because they're not tested by anyone, nobody, not even the election directors are allowed to go in there. This is especially true now down in Florida where Clint is. The election directors are not allowed to go in there and inspect their own machines. It's an absolute scandal.
What about a question coming to me here now? What about the AVC? And this is, I don't know anything about this. What about AVC Advantage voting systems? Do you know anything about that?
Anything that you cannot verify, it doesn't matter what system you're on, if you don't verify it and you don't audit it, you aren't going to be sure you have the right results. And the same thing holds true with all the touch screens and even with the scanners. And with the scanners, if you go ahead and you have the paper and you scan it, but you aren't allowed to audit your results so you can make sure that, you know, it's actually counting what's on the paper, then those are no more accurate, or at least have the potential of being just as inaccurate as the touchscreen. And in Florida, instead of, you know, saying, well, let's audit things, they actually passed a law that says that once you have the paper and you send it through the scanner, you can't audit that either.
Well,
there's no reason for that.
Yeah.
Well, there's one reason for that. I think we all know what that reason is.
Well, Clint, you got to be probably the only candidate in the country that has an intimate knowledge of this stuff, don't you?
Probably, at least to this level.
Yeah. Well, what about your district? How is it set up over there?
This district is about 7% heavy Republican. So I have to flip 7% of the vote. Or let's say move 7% of the vote, because flipping is the other way we do it.
Yeah.
And then I've got him, and it looks like I've got him. We're getting about 10% crossover with Republicans, which I really expected more honest ones than that, but sometimes you get disappointed. And we're getting almost all of the independents, at least on our internal polling. I think Zogby had us at 11 points ahead. And so, you know, we're doing well.
Well, I think a lot of people misunderstand Florida, or misunderestimate, to quote our great leader. Florida, to me, is very much a purple state, and there's a lot of flipping back and forth with people. I mean, I live in a decidedly heavy-duty red area here. I mean, as red as it gets anywhere. But around the state, I think it's pretty doggone purple, and your district, although Feeney's had that for how long now?
4 years, ever since he developed it.
Man, everybody, I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of people. it's going to be like the witch is dead and the Wizard of Oz if we get him out of there. I tell you that. There's going to be a lot of people dancing in the streets.
Remember, he was also the Speaker of the House of Florida down there, and he's very well connected with the Bushes. He was Jeb Bush's running mate for governor back in 1994. Feeney is a very powerful man, and I suspect that Clint had mentioned that getting something like 10, that Clint's getting like 10% support from Republicans, he had hoped for more. I would suggest simply because of name recognition and the fact that everyone in Florida knows Feeney, and you know, he has had the amount of money to keep that name out there where Clint hasn't. So, you know, I hope people again will jump in and fight for electoral integrity, go to ClintCurtis.com and support that race down there, because he's not getting any money currently from the National Party, the DNC, or the BCCC, which I think is an absolute scandal, because the Democrats would take a leadership House seat away from the Republicans if they would just invest in guys like Clint Curtis.
Well, I think it's a scandal, and it's no secret to my listeners on this program that I am not enamored with the Florida Democratic Party leadership. It's a crime that they haven't jumped on this and the DNC and put some money Clint's way. I hope there's still time for him to do that. Is it going to come down to a money issue in the last couple of weeks, Clint?
It might, because Feeney still has about $500,000, which is a little better than our $20,000 we have left.
Uh-huh. So, just a bit.
When we go into the media markets and we start advertising, even though the press is out there and talking about how Feeney's the most corrupt congressman in Washington and he's involved with Abram Hoff and DeLay and all these people, when he gets his TV ads, he'll be an angel. If you see enough angel ads, he might get enough people to believe it.
Mm. Well, I've seen enough Charlie Crist ads here that I could recite them word for word. I can tell you that. I am so sick of that. Davis hasn't run, and I'm talking about our governor's race for the rest of you around the country. I haven't seen one Davis ad, and I guess they're not going to spend any money in our area here, but Crist is on every 5 minutes.
And it's a money issue there, too. I mean, Crist has about 10 times more money than he does.
Right. Right, and that race is closing up as well. It's a lot closer than a lot of people thought it could ever be. It's maybe down to just the margin of error as well. Well, Clint, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. Is there anything you want to say to our audience? Anything you need that we can do for you? We want to get you to Washington.
Just need volunteers and need contributions. So if you go to my website, ClintCurtis.com, click on there, do a volunteer, do a contribution, and we'll take this guy out. We're ahead of him now. All we have to do is maintain that momentum.
Well, we'll do our best, and Clint, continued success in the campaign, and we'll talk to you again right before.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well, Brad, there's one there that if he makes it through, that'll be just fantastic news, and not even as a partisan thing.
Yeah.
That will show everybody that the butcher baker, the candlestick maker, can make it to Washington.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I got I'm frankly not really a big partisan guy. I'm an issue guy. I'm supporting Clint Curtis because he's out there fighting for electoral integrity. But, you know, I've supported Republicans when you can find them who are willing to stand up and do the same. And I've beaten up on Democrats who have refused to do so. You know, that's what it's about for me, at least. It's about, the issues, not the party. I don't really care who the party is. I'll support honest folks who are going to fight for the people no matter where we can find them.
Well, I've been a Democrat all my life, but as everybody knows that listens to this program, I'm certainly not enamored with our gubernatorial candidate here. I think we could have done a whole lot better, and I'm not pleased with how he's voted in Congress whatsoever, and I'm going to have a tough time. Tough time on that one. The party on that one didn't make a bit of difference to me. I especially in a governor's race where we don't have to get any well, I'm having one of those brain things right now. Anyway, any committee chairmanships and all that sort of thing in a governor's race, it's a little safer to go with your true feelings rather than some of the national races.
Well, I might tell you that I would encourage folks to put those Democrats back in power, if only so that you can then hold their feet to the fire and you're not spending all your time fighting off the nonsense, lies, and propaganda from the right wing. I mean, get those Democrats in power, and then let's hold their feet to the fire and get them to finally stand up the way they haven't for us, for the people, for, you know, fighting against things like Iraq, the Patriot Act, torture, secret prisons, all of these bizarre things that you would think they would be leading the march to fight against, but really they haven't. So let's put them in power, and then let's hold their feet to the fire. Let's hold them accountable and let them know if they don't perform right now, you know, we'll toss their asses out of there, too.
Well, we don't want to filibuster and stuff because those Republicans might call us names and stuff like they did before, and we don't want that. You know, they call us un-American and everything, and they made us cry. That's the way they acted throughout many of these things, and nary a whimper on right. So many things. And you're absolutely right. I did a big old rant on the show about that the other day. When the Dems get in, I'm going to be tough. they're going to have to answer to the people that put them in office instead of corporate America, and we hope we can make that happen.
Sounds good to me.
So what's your schedule from now to election time? What are you doing? Where are you going? How are you going to wrap this up and keep track? I mean, is Election Day the World Series for you? Is that the seventh game, or is it going to be after that?
Actually, I think it's going to be before, after, and during.
Uh-huh.
Sorry to say. I mean, I think we're already in that place. I cannot remember the last time I went to bed before 4 or 5 a.m. Out here. And, you know, a lot of these folks who are concerned about electoral integrity, you know, they sort of have all eyes on November 7th. And I have tried to, caution them, hey, guys, it's game on right now. Early voting has already begun. Down in many jurisdictions, again, down in San Diego, for example, a week ago last Monday, they started sending home pre-programmed, election-ready, Diebold touchscreen machines with poll workers, giving them a full, 3 weeks to find the 60 seconds they need to hack the entire election. So
yeah.
It's game on right now. Now is the time you fight it. Now is the time you talk about what's going on. You don't wait until after the election, which allows the bad guys to call you sore losers or anything else like that. I'm telling you, right now, we have no basis for confidence in these elections, and we got to get that word out right now so that this is not a stunning surprise when all of a sudden on election night you think it's going to go one way, and then what do you know? Things go another.
Brad, are we beyond the point where we can never turn back to paper ballots?
Oh no, I think we can turn back. I think we can restore sanity. It may, however, take an electoral 9/11. Frankly, something that is so obvious that everybody in the world can see what's wrong with the system. You know, if Brad Friedman or Guy James ends up being elected governor of Florida, that might tell folks there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, my people wouldn't cheat to get. I wouldn't cheat to get in. I'd do it the honest way.
Yeah, well, guess what? On November 7th, you might find yourself the winner for all we know, and you didn't even realize you were running.
Yeah.
You know, when something like that happens, that it's so clear that nobody can dispute it. Now, some people will say we've already had a couple of electoral 9/11s, I don't know. It's going to take something that clear, I think, or it's going to take Republicans stepping forward. We know they are not afraid to fight as much as they need to. And I'm getting information that these Republicans may well be ready to pounce on election night and claim electronic election fraud because of these machines.
They have their teams all set up like they did in 2004, ready to go, teams of lawyers.
And you know what? They're going to say, hey, look at that big lefty Brad Friedman and Guy James, and they've all been questioning whether these machines are reliable, and we're going to have to say, yep, you're right. We have been questioning it, and I'm going to have to, you know, support those Republicans when they do that. And I hate to do that, frankly, which is why I'm trying to get the message out to Democrats. They ought to be making that case right now. Either way, you know, as I say, I suspect it's going to be once Republicans get into this issue and start doing something about it that the system will actually change, unfortunately.
I agree with you. I think that's what it's going to take. Brad, thanks so much for being on the show today. We'll be in contact with you again for the election, see how you're holding up, and hopefully afterwards for a big victory. Pop a cork and, have a good time over it. Brad, thanks so much for being on the program today.
Always great to be here, Guy. Thanks so much for having me. Talk to you soon.
Keep after it, buddy.
All right.
Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You want to know anything about elections and other things as well, go to bradblog.com. It's all there. You talk about a website packed full. It is packed full, more than any website I've ever seen. And I appreciate Brad's time and Clint coming over. I tell you what, keep track of the – you know, I know some of you that live in other places around the country. You may not have a great interest in this Clint Curtis race, but Tom Feeney is a low-down slimy bastard that's in Congress. He's rated the third most corrupt congressman in Congress right now by crew. And this would prove, if Clint could knock this guy off, it's a David and Goliath story, money-wise. I mean, absolutely a David and Goliath story. And if Clint can pull this off, I think that it will give so much hope to other people in this country. I think it would have a ripple effect all around the country that all of a sudden other people who aren't rich, who don't have a powerful political machine behind them, can look and say, hey, I'm a good, decent person, and I want to run for office. Maybe I can pull off a Clint Curtis thing themselves. And so that's why we're really rooting for Clint. He's not even in my district here in Florida. But number one, I'd love to see Feeney out of there. Number two, I think that would be just a fabulous thing for a guy like Clint Curtis to walk off with what they considered an unbelievably safe seat for the Republicans. We shall see. We're going to pause for a break right now. We'll be back in a moment or two. Don't go away.
That's Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid.
The only hope that George Bush had after he raped the Treasury, after he ripped us off, the only hope he had for balancing out the amount of the bad paper that he had to go and hang in China was to take control of the means by which China would receive oil. Iraq is one of the faucets. The other faucet is Iran. If he can control those two things, he can continue to hang bad paper on China, and on the other end, act as the dealer outside the schoolyard to China's little junkie. Does this make sense?
It makes perfect sense, but I haven't heard it said in that concise a manner. Nobody has made the loop so small that everybody can realize.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, only at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and RadioPower.org.
For the past 20 years, I've been voting Republican. The Republicans promised to reduce my taxes, lower my electric bills, and fix our school funding system. Well, I don't know about you, but my property taxes go up every year, my electric bills are through the roof, and the school funding system is still broken. I've had enough. When I get in the voting booth on November 7th, I'm not voting Republican anymore. I'm going to vote Democrat, and I hope you'll join me.
This is not about Parkinson's disease to me, and this is not about Michael J. Fox. And it never was, and to me it is not personal and never has been. I don't know him. I've never met him. I know of him only through his career as an actor and a political activist. I think when anyone climbs into the arena of ideas, the political arena of ideas, particularly during a heated campaign, they do not get the special privilege of being the only fighter allowed to throw a punch. There are not special people among us who get to enter the political arena of ideas and say whatever they want. They can mislead, they can misquote, they can misrepresent, they can even lie. And yet we're supposed to, if they are victims of something, stand back, be compassionate, be tolerant, and understand, and not respond. Sorry, I don't follow the script. It didn't matter. Daffy Duck could have done a commercial for Claire McCaskill saying the same things that Fox did, misleading about stem cell research and Jim Talent, or in Maryland with Ben Cardin and Michael Steele, and my reaction would have been the same. I would have reacted and responded to Daffy Duck. Now, the idea that certain people, because of their victim status, are allowed to enter the fray with impunity is something I am not going to subscribe to. This is a strategy. It is a tactic that the Democrats have used for as long as I have been observing politics. And I'm sorry, the days are over where I follow the script. It may sound cold-hearted or mean-spirited, but ladies and gentlemen, I have my ideas and I have my principles, and I think they're right, and I think they should prevail. And when people who are running for office represent the things I believe in are lied about or are misrepresented, you can rest assured I am going to defend those principles and ideas and the people who stand for them and represent them. I am not going to be fooled or lulled into standing aside. I'm not going to be intimidated under the pretext that some people have a protected, insured right to say whatever they want simply because they are unfortunate, they are victims, or what have you. The drive-by media today, in most instances, is acting like a hysterical mother who is afraid her little boy won't be able to defend himself after he picked a fight. And so they are attacking me and others for being insensitive, cold-hearted, cruel, mocking, what have you. I don't know whether Michael Fox assumed that he would step into the arena of ideas and have impunity, whether anybody would be prone to respond to what he said, but I stand by what I said. I take back none of what I said. I wouldn't rephrase it any differently. It is what I believe. It is what I think. It is what I have found to be true.
Do-ba-doo, da-ba-da-da-doo-da.
Hey, we're back with the Guy James Show, and everybody waiting on the phone, thanks. Had a request for that and had to play it. I love it myself. That music makes me smile. Puts me in a good mood. Oh, we got about 24 minutes left in the program. You can give us a call, 866-546-5254, 846-546-5254. Let's go to the phones right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
Okay, I wanted to just say a little something about the computers and Rush.
Yes.
Okay, on the computers, a few years ago, I was taking some college courses, and, you know, they had the computer labs at college, and somebody was always showing off their knowledge, you know, by hacking the computers with some funny things and some vulgar things and different things, and, of course, if they ever got caught, they'd be out of college. And I don't think many of them got caught. And then later on, they bought a bunch of Mac computers, and they had them in a room, you know, and had the room open so that people could go in that were taking courses after hours. Well, somebody hacked those, and they had to take, it took them weeks to get it fixed. They had worked night and day, everybody that knew anything about computers. And you computers are, you know, they're man-made, and they only do what man tells them to do. There's no such thing as 100% guarantee, you know. A lot of people that don't understand about computers don't realize that they're run, you know, they're not perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them are less perfect than others. But I think it'd be kind of funny if somebody from our side put some things on.
Yeah.
Mess them up, but that wouldn't be right. But the other thing I wanted to say about Rush, I wonder what went into the research to enable him to have a cochlear transplant. Isn't that what he had?
Yeah. That's
just
right.
Just think about it, you know?
That's right.
And I guarantee you that the people who are at top, if something happens to them or someone that they care about, if they do care about anybody else, they'll go high and dry, you know, to find any kind of stem cell. They wouldn't care if it's a live baby.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
And, yeah, but, you know, we owe a lot to the research people, you know, and if a person gives, you know, they're okay, it's kind of like a cadaver. When you leave your body to science, you know, or somebody dies and the family signs over the parts, you know. And it, I think that's the way it works, that somebody has to give okay for them not to just be thrown away, the little, what do you call it, plasmas?
Oh, the embryos, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're not actually embryos yet, are they?
Well, that's what the big argument is. And,
yeah, but even if they were embryos, it would be like your child dying and you gave the eyes to somebody to be implanted. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's right, and they're going to be, and the point is they're going to be thrown out anyway.
Right.
And are on a regular basis. So
right.
That's an argument that I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
You know, nothing in this world is. Doesn't have, no matter how good it is, doesn't have some evil, just like electricity, you know, and fire and so forth, everything. And can damage as well as do good. So that's the way I feel about it.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 20 minutes till the hour, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Give us a call. We never did get to a bunch of things I wanted to talk about today. You know, somebody sent me, and I'm sorry, I think it was Restino sent me a great website, and all of a sudden I don't have the website in front of me, but with some interesting statistics. Let me see if I can call up that, where are we at here? I'll end up throwing the whole thing out of whack here. Let me see if I can find this website. I want you all to know about this. It's a doggone good website. Where are we at here? Let's do it. It's called NationMaster.com. NationMaster.com. Check it out. I think you'll find it most interesting. Just all sorts of great statistics on there that that I know you'll find interesting. And let me. I was reading through it today, and thank you very much for sending me that. For example, in education, you know, we think we're the most educated country in the world, don't we? We're not. We're ranked, where are we here? 14th. 14th in education. Norway, Finland, Australia, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Sweden, the Netherlands, Belgium, Iceland, Denmark, France, Germany, Spain, and then the United States. We're just ahead of Portugal. Aren't we lucky? And another thing, I get so damn tired of the right wingers, and you know when they start this up, oh, it just you know, it's all that foreign aid we give them, they're foreigners, and foreigners we just we ought to show the. Have you seen that email that's circulating about how we ought to cut off the foreign aid to all these countries, threaten them and saying, yeah, if you're not with us on this. Have you seen that one? It's been going around for ever since the war started about we know who our friends are and we're going to cut off your foreign aid since you didn't back us. And foreign aid in the United States? Hey, give me a break. Per capita, you know who's number one in the world in foreign aid? Luxembourg. $496 per capita. Denmark is second with 366. Norway third with 303. The Netherlands fourth, 242. Sweden is fifth. This is foreign aid we're talking about. Sweden is fifth with $188 per capita. Ireland is sixth with 149. Switzerland is seventh with 146. The UK 130 at eighth. Belgium ninth at 103. And let's skip all the way down to the United States, number 20. Number 20, all these right-wingers talking about how much we liberals spend in foreign aid. Remember, number one was Luxembourg. Let's throw them out because they're such a teeny-weeny little place. Next, Denmark and Norway, about $300 per capita. United Kingdom, $130 per capita. United States, $23 per capita. Number 20 on the list, just ahead of Italy. And behind New Zealand at number 19. Don't give me that crap. Don't give me that crap about foreign aid. I hate to hear it. Taxes? That's another thing. The Republicans run on taxes. I mean, whoa, we're going to cut your taxes. Taxes and security. Taxes and security. That's all they've been preaching here. They don't want to talk about the war very much. Taxes and security. The highest taxed country in the world is Belgium. And then Hungary, and then Germany, and then Sweden. United States, let's see, where are we on this list? The 21st. We're 21st on the list of nations that pay taxes. We're 30%, and this is all taxes considered, all taxes. Everything you can think of, sales tax, income tax, you know, all that stuff. We pay about 30% in taxes, all things considered. Belgium's 55%, Hungary's 52%, Germany's 50%, Sweden's 48%, France's 48%, Italy's 46%, Finland 45%. And so the right-wing argument becomes, well, yeah, see, those countries pay all that high tax. And that's why the entrepreneurs in this country, that's why we're the richest nation on earth. You know what? Per capita, we're not. No, we are not. Just told you that. And income. And that's where we at on income? Seventh. Again, Luxembourg is first, Norway second, Switzerland third, Ireland fourth, Denmark fifth, Iceland sixth. The United States is seventh in income. We average about $39,000 per capita. Don't forget, that's taking everybody into account. And Luxembourg, $66,000 per capita. And Norway, $54,000 per capita. So we do not make more money per capita than anybody else. We are not better educated than anybody else. In fact, we're far down the list, 14th. We are far down the list in foreign aid. We do not give away all of our income, as they accuse the liberals of giving away to, all of our money to the foreigners. And we do not pay the highest taxes. So, and I like what I just saw on the chat room. So the right wing isn't against taxes. They're against taxing the rich. Oh, so true. Oh, so true. But that's a great website there, and you can dispel a lot of the myths that the right-wingers like to throw around. Hey, how many of you are keeping up on the Weldon situation? You know, the Pennsylvania congressman that got together with, Rick Santorum, and, you know, found those weapons of mass destruction? I still have to laugh over that. That was a good one. Kurt Weldon. Not only is he being investigated for taking a bunch of money from Russians and getting his daughter a lobbying thing that made her about $1 million a year with the Russians and all that. Not only that, and they raided her house the other day. Now we find out that he's trying to dig up dirt on his opponent in the race, in his congressional race. And they emailed, let me see how this reads, alleged efforts by the staff of Congressman Kurt Weldon of Pennsylvania to call Navy employees for information and negative statements about his Democratic opponent, retired Rear Admiral Joe Sestak, two emails that were forwarded to the Sestak campaign by one current and one former Pentagon employee, appear to detail guidance from superiors to staff to not speak with Weldon's office should it call again soliciting information about Sestak. Weldon's office is described in one email as, quote, calling everyone and his brother in the office of the Chief of Naval Operations about Sestak. This is against the law. Against the law. The American Prospect has confirmed the authenticity of these emails, speaking directly with their authors. The Sestak campaign is protecting the identity of the sender of the third email, who it says is an active duty Pentagon employee. The Prospect also interviewed a fourth person, Christine Fox, president of the Center of Naval Analysis, a federally funded research and development organization where Sestak briefly worked after retiring from the Navy. Fox confirms the authenticity of the email written by her and forwarded by a third party through the Sestak campaign, describing Weldon's office as calling everyone and his brother. It's against the law. It's criminal behavior. Criminal behavior. Not just dirty tricks. Not just Republican dirty tricks. This has crossed over the line into criminal behavior. Another. My God, how many of them are there? How many Republican criminals are there in Congress? I wonder. Quite a few, don't you think? Man, oh man, a lot of them. Hey, we're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Jukebox and you.
Hey, we're back with the Guy James Show, coming into the last segment of the day. Thank everybody for being along with us this afternoon. I've enjoyed our conversation. Hope you found it interesting as well. Just a few minutes left in the program. I've probably got time for one more call. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. You know, if anybody was breathing at the time of the Iraq invasion, we all know that George W. Bush told us that this is going to be a long road. And in fact, besides telling us that we were going to stay the course, he also told us that there would be no timetable. And I know you all remember this. He said there's not going to be any timetable or schedule for when we'll be going home. We all know that the Iraqi government could have us leave at any time, but we would stay as long as they wanted us there. So now we have an Iraqi government that would rather not take responsibility, and they haven't taken any responsibility. They would like us to stay until the violence goes away, and we don't have any means to put any pressure on them because we've pledged to stay, and Bush has pledged to stay, as long as they want us there until they stand up, and it looks like they haven't even crouched. They're by no means close to standing up. So why would they want to take up the tough fight if we're going to do it for them? And they seem to be satisfied with that right now. The answer is that they want us to stay, and there's nothing we can do about it except change the vocabulary. So George W. Bush will not even mention the word deadlines, ultimatums, timetables, or schedules, anything like that. Instead, George W. Bush talks about milestones and benchmarks. And I think these subtle distinctions in language don't seem to match the image of an American president that stumbles over every other sentence and barely understands what he's reading himself, and you know he doesn't most of the time. And this is where the truth becomes apparent. George W. Bush has used his stunning inability to move his tongue to create the image of a person who can't string two sentences together. Based on this illusion, he's been able to forward his message absolutely cloaked in lies and inaccuracy and blame the problematic language on his ridiculous lack of mastery of the language. So when George W. Bush uses the subtle language of being willing to change tactics, as he says, but not willing to change strategy, we should realize this is a political tactic that's part of a political strategy, and the strategy is to maintain power at any cost, and he's absolutely unwilling to change it. He's shown no inclination to change it whatsoever, and here we are, up against a timetable right now. We have an election coming up in 12 days. I think it's 12. And he's had the unmitigated gall, and you know he knows the answer to this question. Are we going to send more troops into Iraq or aren't we? Going to wait till after the election to tell us whether we are or not. I see no indication that the Republicans want to give up on this war. I think all the hardcore PNAC people are pushing for him to increase the pressure, the military pressure, and send more troops and start bombing again and do whatever it takes to win a military victory, what they consider a military victory in Iraq. And so after the election, if he has his way, and I hope to God he does not, and I hope the Democrats have some say in the matter, after the election, if he still has control, they're going to send in more troops, and they're going to start a serious military operation over there that's going to be hell on earth. And the innocent Iraqis are going to pay for it with their lives, and lots of Americans are going to pay for it with their lives as well. You wait and see. And yet he has the gall to tell us, well, they're not going to make that decision until after the election. In fact, he hasn't voiced that. The White House has just let it be known that they will not make a decision until after the election because they don't want it to look political as to whether or not we send in more troops into that godforsaken place. We know most of the troops want to come home. Of course, they want to come home from any war, but they particularly want to come home from this one because we're fighting for nothing there. We're fighting for nothing for our country. If you want to put it in selfish terms, what's in it for us? Nothing. Nothing. There's never been anything in it for us. It was war profiteering at its most blatant. Mr. Bush knows it. People in the Pentagon know it. Don Rumsfeld knows it. Dick Cheney knows it. They all know it. And we've all sat here and let it happen. God help us on November 7th if we don't send enough people to Washington to turn this big ship of state around and send it in the right direction. God help the United States of America if we don't do that. So it's more important than ever that you do whatever you can do. Your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, talk to them. Like I said yesterday, haul them to the polls. Take the day off if you have to. Take people to the polls. Whatever you do, every vote counts. And I know people think that's a fallacy, but every vote does count. It really does. At least we hope it does on these Diebold machines this year. So be ready for this big battle coming up on the 7th. And it is a battle, make no mistake about it, and it's going to be mighty fierce between now and then. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang.